So faith believes the word of God and it activates the promise, for what it cannot see is rewarded by seeing what is believed. So faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, does the impossible, complies with the incomprehensible, and accepts the intangible.
This is Treasure Truth with pastor and author James Ford Jr., senior pastor of Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller, and glad that you're with us. We've been taking a look at Joshua chapter 1 and how God had told the nation of Israel and Joshua to go take the land. Our message is entitled Takers, and we've been looking at Scripture, seeing promises that are ours to take, and the faith that's required for us to take them. But sometimes, Pastor, God says, this is a promise that I have for my people. This is a promise that I may have for you. But he doesn't grant that right away. How do we keep our faith strong in those periods of waiting?
Wow. Well, listen to what Hebrews 11:1 says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Man, I'll tell you what's really powerful to me. Take Noah. Mm-hmm. 120 years you have loved being at his church. His sermon was, it's going to rain. Four words. Okay, let's take the offering. We'll see you next Sunday, same time. Next Sunday, it's going to rain. And for 120 years, he preached this as he built the boat. Mm-hmm. Now, my question is this, and it floored me. I was in a devotional time and I'm reading a Hebrew scholar. And he says that the stem of what God said to him, it would be like, in the Greek, it would be called aorist, past tense. Here it is, bottom line. How many times did God tell Noah it's going to rain in 120 years? One time. So for 120 years, he held on to one word that God said. Question. How long have you waited?
All right, that's convicting.
Surely not 120 years. Abraham receives a word from God, holds on for 16 years, and then messes up and has an Ishmael. And then God fulfills his word in 25 years total. Mm. You know, the children of Israel, you know, in Egypt, in bondage. And for 430 years, they waited. And, you know, it really, you see, people don't see the humor in the Bible. I do. Humor is all over the Bible. Mm-hmm. It says in Exodus, it says, and God remembered his children. After 400 years, about time, you know, but God has a plan. And here's something that I don't think we preach enough. It has to do with God's purpose more than my pleasure or provision. Hmm. That if his purpose is not realized, forget about my pleasure, my provision, everything else, power, anything, that God makes sure that he's the one that's going to be glorified in this. And so we acknowledge that. That's the Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So then when I'm called according to his purpose, what can happen to me that would cause me to turn my back on God? Nothing, nada, zilch, zero. Why? Because I belong to him, lock, stock, and barrel, and whatever he does is good. Mm.
That's the right perspective for all of us to have. We may struggle in the midst of that, and that's where knowing what those promises are, claiming those, taking those are so important, and that's what our series has been all about. That's what we're looking at today from the book of Joshua. So join us there as we continue Takers. Here's Pastor Ford.
The power to perform is in the promise proclaimed. It's inherent in the word that he's given to us. Our faith activates the power. Now, we ain't got to go through that. We always talk about Jerry curls. You had to have the activator. And faith is the activator that activates the word of God. So what did he do? He rose, became a taker. Now, here's what I would have done. If I've been laying on that pallet for 38 years, I don't want anything to do with that pallet. Am I right about it, Sister White? Look, I done had this thing for, I'm sick of it. I done had the new model, and you know, I don't want this thing anymore. So Jesus, why you tell me to take it? Because everybody knows that for 38 years, the pallet been carrying you. Now I want you to show them that when you get a promise from God, you now carry what was carrying you. You got victory over what had you conquered. You pick up your pallet so everybody can see that you're more than a conqueror through him that loves you. That when you got a promise from God, it doesn't matter what your circumstances are, because now God gives you sovereignty over your circumstances, so that now he doesn't always change the circumstances, the pallet, but he always changes you, so you're able to pick up that pallet. Pick it up. Come on, tell somebody. Pick it up. Pick it up. Pick it up. Pick up that pallet. Get up off of it. Pick it up. Now I want you to notice something, because when you look at this thing, it's really powerful. Because he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to believe the promise. I say it all the time, but let me say it again. Don't put a question mark where God has put a period. Don't do that. No, don't put a question mark where God has put a period. It is. There's three tenses of the promise here, because it's a past promise that's given in the present about his future. Now, here's what you do. It's a past promise, but here's what you got to do. You got to personalize it. You got to personalize it. What's he telling them to do? Claim this promise for yourself, Joshua, and the children of Israel. I've given it to you. Now all you have to do is claim it. See, the first generation didn't believe it. And so let me show you my grandson, my next to my youngest grandson. His name is Jaden Ford. Now, Jaden's a young scholar. Every year he gets 10 or 12 awards, and have been getting them since he's been at Dixon School in pre-K. He's in fourth grade now. Every year he gets these awards. Well, this year, here's what happened. 3 years in a row, he won Student of the Year, and that's from pre-K to sixth grade, Student of the Year. And this year they said, okay, we're going to award our trophy for Student of the Year. Now, Student of the Year gets special things. He got the reader thing. What's the reader thing? Kindle Fire. Kindle Fire. He got a Kindle Fire. And he got the opportunity to bring his family, and they ate with the principal. Now, he's done that 3 years in a row. So they got up and they said, okay, we're going to announce the Student of the Year. And before the teacher could announce it, the whole student body said, Jaden Ford. And she said, that's right, Jaden Ford. Now, he has never been late or missed a day of school from pre-K. And he gets that award for never missing class and never being late every year. So this is what happened last week. My son got a flat tire. And so he was on his way to school, and his dad got a flat tire. He went into the trunk, and the spare was flat. Jaden's in the back. He starts crying. Oh, Dad, I'm going to be late. I've never been late. You're going to make me late. I knew I should have rode to school with Mom. I told you we should leave early in case anything happened. Then we could get on the bus. So my son said, you know, I've been sharing with my children how God just changed me, turned me around, and now I have this job. My son works with a railroad. He said, I have this job, and I'm so blessed. And so I told him, y'all, how when you give God what he wants, he gives you what you want. And until you give God what he wants, he's not giving you what you want. So he said he wanted my life, but I didn't want to give it to him. And I tried everything in my own power, my own way to make it, and I never made it. But as soon as I turned my life over to him, he opened up doors I never could see. And look where I am now. And so Jaden said, but how is that going to help me get to school on time? And my son said, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes, I do, Daddy. Don't you believe that he could get you on school on time? You believe that? Yes, sir, I believe it, but I'm riding with you and not with Jesus. And he's very practical. He's very practical, Pastor Betts. He's very practical. And so he said, well, then, do you know how to pray? And he said, yes, I know how to pray. He said, well, pray and ask him, because this is something that is good, and he will do it for you. But we're going to be late. You're on a flat tire. And he said, well, are you going to believe God or what? And so Jaden prayed, Lord, you know, I've never been late. And now, because I chose to go with my daddy and not my mommy, I'm going to be late. Please help us get to school on time. My son said he hit the gas and that tire hit the rim. And the tire came off and the rim was rolling. And then the rim starts sparking and the car starts smoking, and he stopped the car, grabbed his son, and they ran the rest of the way. He said, as the last child was going in, Jaden went in, joined in the back, got in his room, sat in his chair, and the bell rang. And he showed him all you had to do was personalize it. And he was telling me about his Thanksgiving prayer and that he talked about it all day in school. Jesus got me here on time. Jesus got me here on time. Jesus got, I prayed and Jesus got me here on time. Jesus. And so my son had me cracking up. If you don't know my youngest son, all the four men got a little sense of humor. I don't know where they get it from, but they all got. I said, what did you do, son? He said, I said, Lord Jesus, you're a will worker. You've been will to me. Because where there's a will, there's a way. So then he went and he went to right down here where the brothers do the tires. He said he rolls up and they had to give him a tire and a rim. And they said to him, man, he said, man, you're lucky you made it here. And he said, I'm not lucky. I'm blessed. I'm will blessed. Oh, me, that's what I said. He said he got it on his amen. And so you see what he's doing. You have to personalize. You know what I do? Here's what I do all the time. And now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that Pastor Ford could ask or think. Pastor Ford is more than a conqueror through him that loved him. Pastor Ford has never seen the righteous forsaken, nor see I put my name in the promise. I personalize it. Remember Caleb in Joshua 14? They're shooting dice. Now, in the Bible, it's legal. So don't be running out here talking about, you know, Pastor said it's all right to shoot some dice because the Israelites, they shot dice. It was called casting lots. And that's how they divided the land. Caleb comes up and says, No, we don't shoot dice, cast lots. Give me my mountain, which the Lord promised me. And here's what it says in Joshua 14, 45 years ago. How long have you been holding on to the promise that God gave you? So now, 45 years later, I'm laying claim on it. It's mine, and I want what's mine. I'm taking what's mine. And they said, that Anakin up there, that's the giants. Those are the guys that are just a little taller than Shaq. And he said, that's all right. God gave it to me, so then I got to take it. And he goes up there, and he takes his land because it's his possession. And I want to tell you something. The Bible says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. When are we going to start taking it? The Bible tells us that this community belongs to us because we're a lighthouse on this corner. When are we going to start taking it? When are we going to take back what the devil has stolen?
What a challenge from Pastor Ford as we continue this message entitled Takers. We're going to get back to it in just one moment. Hey, if this Bible teaching, this study of Joshua 1 is making a difference in your walk with Christ, we'd love to hear about it. And also, I want to ask you to consider giving a financial gift so we can continue to bring you Pastor Ford's teaching each day. We really are a listener-supported radio production. Give online at treasuretruthradio.org and click on the donate button. Back to the message. Here is Pastor Ford.
Notice, because not only do we have to personalize it, this past promise, but we also have to participate in it. Notice what he says. Walk every place the sole of your foot touches. Now, I'm not suggesting that we do a community walk, even though there's nothing wrong with that to show our presence. That doesn't guarantee anything. What's his point? His point is this, that we participate in the promise fulfillment. There's something we must do in order to experience the manifestation of the revelation. What is it? What is it that we must do? Because if we won't do our part, God will not do his part. Come on, say it with me. Without God, we can. Without us, God won't. That's right. And so he says, Joshua, I want you to walk. And notice, if you go to chapter 13, I called it the unconquered territory. Say, what are you talking about? Everywhere they walk, they possess. And everything they left became a curse to them later on. Which ones did they leave alone? Amalekites, Philistines, Jebusites. Who's given them trouble in 1st and 2nd Samuel? Philistines. Who's giving them trouble in 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st Chronicles, 2nd Chronicles? Amalekites. 1,000 years later under Esther, who is Haman? An Agagite. Where do the Agagites come from? Amalekites. Everything you refuse to get out of your life and everything you refuse to step on, God says, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. See, you got to believe God's promises. You got to personalize it. You've got to do that. We've got to let people know that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We activate our faith. You say, what's the book all about? It's about sanctifying faith. You know the difference between justifying faith and sanctifying faith. Let me give it to you real quick. Justifying faith brings you to heaven. Sanctifying faith brings heaven down to you. Justifying faith saves, but sanctifying faith sustains. So what does faith do? Faith cuts the T's off of can't and turns them into can. Faith helps us face the music even when we don't like the tune. Faith not only believes God can, but God will. That faith knows where we are, God brought us. What we have, God got us. What we know, God taught us. Who we are, God wrought in us. And the battles we won, God fought for us. So faith believes the word of God and it activates the promise, for what it cannot see is rewarded by seeing what is believed. So faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, does the impossible, complies with the incomprehensible, and accepts the intangible. Okay, here it is. So it is the promise. See, when we got a promise from God, all the promises in him are yea and amen. God is not a man that he should lie. Faithful is he who has promised. So get this. Okay, let's say, Brother White, you don't have a ride. And I say, Brother White, get ready, man. I'm going to scoop you for church. And you say, okay. Now, then Brother Betts call you 10 minutes after and say, hey, man, I'm going to scoop you for church. What are you going to tell him? I already have a ride. Now, wait a minute. Does he really have a ride? No, he does not. He has a promise of a ride. That's all he has. And so it depends on, I know what you said too. I don't even have to be over there. Because I'm about to say it right now. He said, I probably would have accepted from Brother Betts since he live on the west side and Pastor Ford live on the south side. Pastor Ford ain't gonna come all the way west side and Brother Betts already on the west side. But anyway. I know that was Sister White said that. And so he has a promise of a ride. But my question is this, why is he acting like he already has a ride? Because he refused another ride because he had the promise of a ride. Wanna know why? Because the person that gave him the promise, he had confidence in that he would do what he said. The reason why you're not standing on the promises of God is because you don't believe that God can do what he said he can do. That's why. And so what we need to understand is, I mean, it's like, I'm not going to ask you if you play now. Anybody ever play bidwhiz? I was a whistologist, Jack. And you know what I do? You know what I do when I had set book? Anybody do this? You lick the card. You put it up on top of your forehead. You know, you let them know this is set book. This is set book right here. Whip, this set book. Yo, go ahead and play. Most people, you know what they do? Oh, I'm set. They throw the hand. Ain't used to playing a hand. Let's play another hand. Why? Because you put up there the set book. And that's what you got to do when it comes to the promises of God, that God made you a promise. And the devil is trying to make you think that God is not going to fulfill his promise. And so all you do is you put, boom, you put it right up there. The devil says, I'm more powerful than you. No, greater is he than me that's in the world. Yeah, but you can't do this. Boom, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, but guess what? He's left you, he's forsaken you. Boom, he never leaves me nor forsakes me. You just keep putting that trump card up there because you know that God, come hell or high water, will fulfill his promise. And the question on the floor is, do you believe him? Is there a believer in the house? Is there anybody that will stand on the word of God and say, God, I believe you. I don't care what the circumstances tell me. I don't care what people say. I don't care what doubt comes my way. I'm standing on the word. Let me close. Deacon Roussan, little Frankie, he's Frankie the fifth. Little Frankie. And little Frankie, boy, he's perceptive. I think he helps me to close this thing out. You know what he says? He was acting up. And his daddy said, he knows he's afraid of Pastor Lyles. So he said, if you keep acting up, and I'm going to tell Pastor Lyles on you. And without missing a beat, Deacon Roussan said, and he looked at me and said, and if you keep messing with me, I'm telling Pastor Ford on you. You see what he did? He trumped them. He said, I'm going to appeal to a higher authority in this place. You want me to be afraid because you got Pastor Lyles. Well, I need you to know I got the one who is his senior pastor. That's all we got to do. Joshua, I'm speaking to you right now, son, and I'm telling you, the enemy, the haters, because the higher you go, the more haters you get. You ever find that out? Yeah. We always say new level, new devil. Actually, it's new level, stronger devils, more devils. But you got to say, I'm a bloom where God planted me, and I don't care what anybody else does. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Really the only safe and secure place to stand, isn't it? You're listening to Treasured Truth with Pastor Ford, a message from Joshua chapter 1. It's called Takers, and we're a number of days into this message or series. And if you want to go back and find out what you missed, come to the website. It's treasuredtruthradio.org. You can stream a program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at treasuredtruthradio.org. And if Pastor Ford's study of Joshua chapter 1 is making a difference in your walk with Christ, we'd love to hear about it. You can always give us your feedback at treasuredtruthradio.org and click on the contact link. Thanks for doing that. Thanks also to our producer, Amy Rios. For Pastor Ford, I'm Steve Hiller. Treasured Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.